Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face.
That was the wrong jam. Let me get this one in here. Where's my note chaser? Here you go. That's more like it. I gotta let it ride out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Smith FSP. I'm sitting in for Jerry Taylor and Mac Williams. I'm hoping Mac calls in because this is his show. Mac Williams normally does no chaser. I'm not quite sure where he is. I think he might be traveling. But I'm going to hold the fort down. Normally, Mac's show is very controversial, very, how should I say, risque. But I can't make it that way without somebody to talk to. So, if you want to call in and you want to talk about politics, you want to talk about sports, dial on in. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And we will converse with the best of them. On today's show, though, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the New York, New Jersey area. It's a lot of stuff going on. It's devastation, really. It's a lot of devastation. But who is there to take care of the people? The president's been there. Chris Christie's been in Jersey. The governor, Bloomberg of New York, has given his support to President Obama, saying things like it's a real, global warming is real, and, you know, this is evident of it and stuff like that. But who's there? Because right now you have a bunch of folks, Jerry being one of them, who's without power and in very bad areas right now, because they don't have the amenities that they're accustomed to and need and stuff like that. But I'm not going to say it's somebody's fault. It's not. It's weather. It's what happened. Natural disasters. It was called the Frankenstorm or whatever the case may be. But it was a storm that caused a lot of havoc in people's lives. Got a couple sound bites in reference to them to get to later on in the show. Also, Jerry Jones says, we want to throw the ball. That's what we want to do. Now, Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. If you have, you know, you run the rock or something like that. Jerry, be an owner, not a coach, not a GM. I know it's called football. It's not called pass ball. Football. You kick it, you run with it. You can throw it, of course. But if you're one-dimensional and you have maybe one or two good players that can run a route, you can't consistently win. A lot of people say that the problem with the Dallas Cowboys is the offense. I mean, it's the defense. They're wrong. It's not the defense. Rob Ryan has done actually a pretty good job with that defense. It's actually the offense. The defense didn't give up 6 turnovers. Well, 5 minus a special teams fumble by Dez Bryant. But despite, you know, giving up 6 turnovers, the defense pretty much shut down the New York Giant offense. You know, they say, how did they do that? They got 24 points. They got 30-something points. Eli Manning threw for $160, $180. Running game was terrible. Total offense for the New York Giants was roughly 235 yards, something like that. Total offense for the Cowboys, 405. Granted, they had to throw the ball a lot. They really don't have a strong running game with Felix Jones and without DeMarco Murray. You have nothing, really. I would have said let Evan Tanner run the ball. That's what I would have said. But Jerry says they're a throwing team, and here's Mr. Jones right now.
I've always felt that if you can throw the ball, you'll open up your running game. I could conceive of a situation where we're throwing the ball, throwing it well, and we can. And that, again, the balance that Jason talks about can happen even if you come out throwing the ball a lot.
Well, that theory is pretty good. That was Chuck Knox's theory. I mean, not Chuck Knox. Don Coryell's theory back in San Diego, way back in the day. And, yes, we are in a passing league in the NFL. We are. No doubt about it. But when you have the capabilities of these players to do the things that they do, they ought to be able to run the ball to keep those wide receivers and tight ends wide open so that you can pass the ball. Jason Garrett wants to do a lot of great things. Good offensive mind. Unfortunately, he doesn't have all the weapons that he needs to make a good stew. 4 to 5 yards to be expected on the Giants' defense. 4 interceptions. One forced fumble by the quarterback as well. And then a fumble by Dez Bryant, the kick returner. Those are not defensive issues, ladies and gentlemen. Those issues belong to the offense. I brought up an interesting topic on yesterday's show. Last Friday. I mean, last Saturday. And I think I said something about it last night on a FSP Crew show. I said, if Norv Turner were to be fired from the San Diego Chargers, my money is on Norv Turner becoming the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He would join the Cowboys in some capacity for the remainder of the year, give Jason Garrett one more year to get it right, and then he'd be fired and Norv would take over. Norv is beloved in the state of Texas. He's beloved by the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman rave about Norv Turner's offense because it pretty much made them the megastars that they are. Household names. Brought prominence back to the Dallas Cowboys. It just wasn't Jimmy Johnson and Dave Wannstedt. You know, Jimmy Johnson being the head coach, Dave Wannstedt being the defensive coach. It was Norv Turner. Unfortunately, Norv could not take that magic and bring it to D.C. and take that offense and make it work in D.C. Norv also couldn't do that with Oakland. He also couldn't do it in San Diego, where he still is. And rumors are that had the San Diego Chargers lost last night, Norv Turner would be fired today. I believe it. I believe it. But we won't know because they won. But I think if Jason Garrett happens to, you know, be on a short leash and Norv Turner happens to be let go by the San Diego Chargers, Norv Turner will be going back to the Dallas Cowboys and eventually becoming their head coach, which is good for me because then I know that the Dallas Cowboys will never be any good because he's not a good head coach. Just me talking. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right, because I'm normally am. Anyway, We also have some basketball stuff to talk about. I want to get to that real quick. What's up with the Lakers? What is going on with the Lakers? Okay, granted, it's two games into the season, so we shouldn't be jumping all down their throat. But they opened the season 0-2. Portland and Dallas. You got Kobe, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Paul Gasol, Metta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest. And you're 0-2 to two teams that are on a decline. What does that say? Honestly, what does that say? I don't know, but here's what Chris Broussard has to say about it.
I really don't think they're that concerned. You know, it's tough for anybody who's been around the game knows it's always tougher to get superstars to gel together than role players, you know, because the superstars, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, they have all been used to, for the last five-plus years and longer than that for some of them, the offense has always been geared around them.
So that's a good point. Throughout their entire careers, offenses have been geared around making those stars stars. Dwight Howard, getting the ball with his defensive boards, he'll score. Paul Gasol, he was, when he was with the Memphis Grizzlies, their go-to guy. Then he came to the Lakers and became a co-captain, but we all know Kobe Bryant was running the show. Steve Nash, the guy that ran the show for Dallas and Phoenix and back at Dallas and wherever else he's been, you know, back to Phoenix, I don't know, Toronto, wherever he went. I don't really know right now. But he ran the show, and he scored. Played very little defense, but he ran the show. I'm not going to say only person, because Ron Artest, when he was with the Pacers, he was a very key figure for that team to score and be creative. So, but he got his role, and he understands what his role is. He's a rebounder. He is mainly a defensive player for the Lakers right now. He understands his role. He can score. He hasn't had to in the past 4 or 5 years, but he can. And then you bring up the issue of who's on the bench. Steve Blake and Antoine Jameson. Those are the only two on that bench of note. Really. So what do you say to a person when you say, you know, it's on and popping and it's crack-a-lackin'? I don't know. I see my boy JT Taylor's on Skype, so he must have some type of internet connection, but I'm still going to rock the mic unless he calls in. But let's look at this. The Lakers are not the Lake Show. They're not. Let's hear what Kurt Rambis has to say in reference to that.
Everybody in Los Angeles is very impatient with this Laker team because there's so much talent on it, and everybody assumed that the Lakers were just going to come out and walk over everybody and win 70 games this year, but that's very unrealistic.
Yeah, it's very unrealistic. Now, I'm one of the people that when they first announced that Dwight Howard was going to the Lakers after they already said they had Steve Nash, I was one of the people that said this team could actually challenge that Bulls record of only having 6 losses or 12 losses, whatever it is, the entire season, going 60-12, 61-11, whatever case may be. I really thought that because of the talent. If you could take a bunch of guys in 3 weeks of preparation or 4 weeks of preparation and turn them to a dream team to go play in the Olympics, how hard is it for them to do it in the NBA? Aha! Aha! Very hard, because teams in the United States are different than teams of the world. What do I mean by that? Okay. You can take a national team and put them up against, I'd say, several second-tier NBA players. And that second-tier NBA team would still look better than some nation's team. Will they win all the time? Probably not. But they'll be very, very, very good. And that's about the level of international play. So when you do these fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball drafts, and then you and I do them, but an actual owner of an NBA team or NFL team or Major League Baseball team does it, it doesn't seem to ever work out. Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. Really. There's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. Let's just say, for argument's sake, and this actually could be the case, Steve Nash plays second or third fiddle to Kobe Bryant and Paul Gasol. Let's just say he doesn't. It's not inconceivable. Very possible. Okay? That's one out of the five. Ron Artest has already taken on that domicile role, so that's two out of the five. Paul Gasol, to an extent, accepted his role as the number two scorer on the team. Wasn't very happy when Andrew Bynum was there, because Andrew either was hurt or took the ball and points when he was supposed to get them. But now he has Dwight Howard there, who's a bigger, stronger, better defensive player, maybe not as big of an offensive threat as Andrew Bynum, but definitely somebody you can give the ball to down low. So let's say Paul Gasol doesn't want to be the number three scorer, even though he probably isn't. Dwight Howard. He's a 20-20 guy. 20 points, 20 boards. Will that happen this year? Can he become a 10-10 or a 10-20 guy? The offense won't be ran through him anymore. Offense is run through Kobe Bryant. And yesterday we talked about how Mike Brown may or may not have been in over his head when he took the job. But right now it's about time that Mike Brown says, I'm done. We're not saying he should quit, but he should consider going back to the triangle offense if he knows it. Or bring somebody in that knows triangle offense, because his motion offense, which has some elements of the triangle, is not working properly for them. It's either not working properly for them or they're not playing defense. I mean, think about it. Portland? We're talking about Portland here. I don't mean to sound like Allen Iverson, but Portland? Portland? Are we talking about Portland? We're talking about Portland here. Just substitute the word practice for Portland. They both begin with Pete. Dallas, okay. They got the big German, Dirk Nowitzki. Then who else? Kidd is in New York. Okay. Who else do you have? In and Dallas other than Elton Brand and Dirk Nowitzki. Those are your only two real offensive options, really, and not really even Elton Brand. The Jet is in Boston, being their sixth man. I mean, Mark Cuban kind of gutted that roster, got something in return, and he's going to have a whole ton of money to spend next season. Conversely, the Lakers decided we're going to just take all these guys. Now, did they get younger with Howard? Yes. Gasol isn't too old. But everywhere else, the Lakers are old. They just are. You can't say they aren't. They're just very old. There's nothing you can do about it, except wait for them to gel and see what happens. I don't think they're going to be able to stick up and stay like they normally do. You know, are they going to be able to bulldoze through people? Nah. I don't think so. If they are, then, you know, it's remarkable. Because they're older, they're not as durable. Kobe's already got an injury. It's only two games this season. Come on, man. Are you serious? Tell me what it is that's going to happen that's going to make it easier for the Lakers to win. Tell me. Dwight Howard says the offense needs time. No kidding, it needs time to gel. No kidding, Dwight. What's going to happen? How do you fix it? For the life of me, I don't know. I can't tell you. It is what it is. Right? Now, let's talk a little bit about some other things as we move forward. There are some topics I want to get to. We'll get back to football, jump around a little bit, but let's talk about the disaster that took place in on the East Coast, not just in one area, actually. It's many areas, but let's talk about that. Hurricane Sandy devastated a whole mess of areas. I mean, a whole lot. The New York Marathon is supposed to be happening. We were talking about it yesterday on the cruise show. And Jeff was saying, well, New York is a city that never sleeps. So, of course, the show's going to go on. Well, just like this show had to go on, even though the co-host and the main host aren't here, the show still has to go on. There are some people that are upset, and there's some things going on, and folks want to know why. But you know what? I'm going to play this marathon piece, and I'm gonna pick up that caller from the 301. I got you in a minute, caller from 301. Let me play the sound bite, okay? Here we go.
This is very smart. This is very good news, and I do feel badly for them. I mean, it's a lot of work, and a lot of people are going to be very disappointed. But in the end, it's just a bunch of people running down the streets of New York. It's not life and death.
That was Philip Bolden talking about the New York Marathon being canceled. Not only are businesses affected by that, because I agree with what he said, but also disagree because you have businesses that were banking on a lot of that money to help stimulate their revenue stream. Of course, right now money isn't the biggest issue in New York. Cleaning up and preparing for whatever comes next is the biggest issue. Finding the bodies of people that are missing, draining the buildings of all the water and stuff like that. That's the issue. So, in the long run, I would have canceled it too, but I'm playing another soundbite after I get this caller that discuss why are NFL games being played this weekend. So I got a call from the 301. Call from 301, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
This is your host, Mac Williams. I got caught in traffic.
Oh, you got caught in traffic.
I did. Yes, I did. I was trying to get back here, and I got caught in traffic. I apologize to all my listeners, and I apologize to Vic, because I don't usually do that, but I got caught, and I thought I could make it, and I'm not going to say anything about Virginia drivers, but they are a creative bunch. That's all I'll say.
This is no chases. Mac Williams on the line. I've been talking about
I've been listening. So let me say this. I agree with some of your points, but I will say this. The only thing I do say is the marathon I thought was kind of ridiculous, but I do believe, yes, there's a lot of people economically who are banking on it. I'm not in New York, so I can't speak to it. I can only go by what the various news reports and the film and all the stuff I've seen and things like that. And, you know, to me, I think it should have been canceled. I know it was beneficial. I don't think you could win either way. That's just a no-win situation. If you do it, you're going to have those people who are going to outcry, like you had the backlash about it. If you cancel it, now you got business people and people who stood to make money on it now say you backed out. You know, we were banking on this, and so you're not going to win that argument. But I will say, I posted something earlier today. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook where I posted Dwayne Wade was complaining about the 3-hour ride in on the bus, and I kind of said, shut up. You know, you're a millionaire guy on a nice clean bus. You know what you got to worry about? You ain't got nothing but time. You get paid. You know, so for me, I said that, but one of the people who he thinks he's a genius, but really he's the master of hoof and mouth disease, says, why don't you, he was like, well, you know, I don't think you would have, you know, did you hear his second tweet? I guess he had said, you know, he was supporting an artist. I said, yeah, but why complain? You know, don't say anything. I mean, you are not in that situation. You ride a 3-hour bus ride. You're not living there in those conditions. I just think it would have been better to be quiet. But then he tries to criticize me. The same guy tries to criticize me because he was saying that, you know, it shouldn't have went on. And I said, well, then if that's the case, be mad at the guys who had the football game after, what was it, 9/11? What was it after?
Yeah,
Right, after 9/11, we had it, and what was the reason? And what was the reason for that, Vic?
Well, and I agree.
What was the reason that was given? That's what I mean.
Well, the reason that was given was because you want to put the families and people at ease and show the terrorists that, you know, you haven't changed this. But the bottom line is,
but it was also to get their mind. But it was also to get their minds to give them a 2-hour, a couple hour break from. You know, news feeds, what's been going on. It was a chance to kind of, like, get back and enjoy it. So I personally felt like the game tonight, because there was the same controversy with the Knicks and Miami Heat. And I said, and I asked the question of the guy, I said, so what you're telling me is it was okay for 9/11, but it wasn't okay to give people who can come to the game, who can make it there, 2 hours of, you know, off their minds of what they've been going through. And, of course, I never heard nothing back after that. So,
but see,
you know
what? You got a point there. You got a point there. You know, why is it okay for one thing and not okay for another? And I was about to play the soundbite about, you know, playing the football game. The same guy that just said this whole thing about the marathon, he had something else to say about football. So
okay.
I'm going to transition you into it and see what you got. And also got a soundbite I got just for you to prove my point about our little Detroit Lion issue we had a couple weeks back.
Overall, the benefit to the city to get back on its feet is great. And remember, there's going to be a football game in New Jersey with 70,000 people and the state most hardest hit. You haven't heard Governor Chris Christie say that event shouldn't go on.
See, that, again, this guy is saying, or I'm taking it as, I shouldn't say this guy is saying. I'm taking it as he's saying that, you know, the devastation isn't so bad that, I mean, it's bad, but that game isn't getting canceled, but the marathon is. So what's the priority here? I mean, that's what he's saying.
Right.
If that's what I'm getting from it, what are you getting from it?
I mean, for me, I'm getting from it. It's you know what I get from it that yeah he's complaining about it, but at the same time my thing is, you got to understand New York and New Jersey are two different places. Even though they're close, you got two different mayors. I mean, two different governors, two different you know whatever, and you got two different fans. People pitched a fit, but you got to remember something. People pitched a fit and was calling in and going off on social media about having a marathon. Nobody, I mean, maybe, I don't know for sure, but Chris Christie's not getting that same thing about the football game.
So for me,
if we're going to say we live in a country where people can protest and people can say things and it sways, and the American, it's the American people who are in control and not them, then, you know, hey, Chris Christie probably didn't say anything because guess what? He said it's going to go on. I'm pretty sure if enough people blasted and went off and said, hey, we shouldn't have no football game, this is bogus, the same thing would have happened. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure Chris Christie would have been responsible and said, you know what, let's not have it. But if you don't say it, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that's a no-win situation. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You can't please everybody, so you have to kind of go with your gut, you know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to get to. And you brought it right to it because Chris Christie is in a situation where he's a guy that's representing a state that was hit the hardest.
Right.
And all they have right now is devastation. People still without electricity. People still,
right.
People are going crazy. But there's enough electricity and enough generators and enough stuff to put on this game for at least a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think they reduced ticket prices or something like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can put this on so you can fill up a stadium. Hopefully the Jets win because that'll be good for them. You know, people can see that. But you put on a game that folks can enjoy. And I think the Jets are playing there, or the Giants. One of the two are playing there this week. But it's an escape.
Mm-hmm.
It's an escape
right.
from reality that,
right.
you know, Joe Blow down the street don't have a house.
Right.
You
and
know,
that's what I think is the good thing about having the basketball game and the football game. Because you got to remember, a marathon is not something they really televise and people gather around and they go down there and stand out there and watch it. That's not that kind of interactive. You just basically just, I mean, once the people take off, you're just like, okay, if you just stay there, you're waiting for them to come back around again. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same thing. And we know that most sport fans are not going to go to, they're not going to go to a marathon, unless you are a diehard runner or you're something like that. You know, no football players and baseball, I mean, football, baseball, boxing fan, you're not going to find them down at that thing. So, yeah, I mean, but I mean, I think the complaints weren't because of the reasons I'm giving you, but it was more or less because it's hard hit, it's wreckage, it's disaster all over the place. How are these people going to get here? This is terrible. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're going to take away resources from which I understood from you're going to take, you know, fire, police, ambulance people mm-hmm. from those who need it or who still may need it during that time, and you got people downtown on that. So, yeah, you're right. But football and, if I'm not mistaken, football and basketball don't take – it doesn't take that kind of resources because most of the resources they – the policemen they have down there are there, are always there. The ambulance people, the ambulance is always there. You know, that's every game throughout. So they're not pulling resources from somewhere else outside of that. And then, like you said, the event is – that event is bigger because it's spread over over miles as opposed to baseball and basketball, which is in one area.
Correct. Correct. So, and – you know, the scenery of the wreckage is not a good thing that people will want to see and stuff like that. I mean, I got it. I'm going to get you good a little bit because I don't know which one I want to do. Don't want to go to
you're not
gonna politics,
get my. Let me say this to you. You're not going to get. You are not going to get my goat because I'm going to tell you right now, like I said before, I watch the Lions every year, all year, every year. I don't miss it. I'm telling you. The funny thing is, just to say this to you, when you said that we need another wide receiver to go on the other side of Calvin, I understand that.
Yeah.
But as you saw last week, the hot guy was who? Titus Young.
I'm just saying we already
have that. We don't know. We don't need to go in the draft to get no other wide receiver. The receivers we got, the tight ends that we've always used, are good enough. We cannot catch a cold. We cannot stop a water leak. That secondary is some garbage. People march down the field on us and score. And everybody keeps saying this thing about, man, they're a higher scoring team. I don't care about scoring. Scoring means nothing to me if you can't stop somebody. The Steelers won that game last week against them Redskins because they could stop them, not because they could outscore them. They got what they took what they wanted, and then they got the scores, but they could stop the Redskins. And to be honest with you, that's the first team I've seen that has actually put the brakes on the Redskins this season to a point where it's like that was the first team I felt like in all the weeks you guys have played, that is the first team I felt where I said they ain't going down the field this time. They ain't going down the field on them. Every other team, damn, y'all left this man a minute and a half. He going down there and marching. Every time.
Tell you what, Mac. Hey, you got a point, but I'm going to counter it. Because when you got 10 drops in that one game, six
mm-hmm.
of them were for first downs,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
But I like that point because somebody else made that point to me. But let me hit you with this point, though. How many times have you known a football team? How many times? Let me ask you this. Between end zone to end zone, I can throw all the passes I want. If every one of those dudes catch that ball, that still doesn't assure you get 3 points. That still doesn't assure you get close enough to get 3 points or get in the end zone. So what I'm saying to people who keep saying that is I keep saying the drops, yes, of course if they had caught it, that's fine. But I've seen teams that have gone, I mean, come on, man. We know teams that have gone up and down the field and ain't scored crap. And a dude have and the quarterback have over 300 yards, and he's like, they ain't scored nothing.
But
so,
I'll say this to that, and I see the blacks on the line too, because I'm about to do two things to you. Because I want to get you on politics because the election coming up, but we can sidetrack that for later.
Christ, man, go ahead. Well, I'll give you a little bit because it's you, Vic, because you ain't on here every week. If I had to do this every week, I'd do it. But we can. I'll give you a little bit, but I ain't gonna go on no
goal. Okay, I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take it when I get it, but I'm gonna do something else to you first.
Okay.
I know black's on the line, but
bring black
point,
in.
I am. But to that point that you just made,
mm-hmm.
Opportunities create opportunities. So the more opportunities you have to score,
mm-hmm.
the more opportunities you have to win the game, and they
Absolutely.
Cut themselves short by dropping those balls. But
I give you that.
Pittsburgh beat our ass. They won. They took us out of our game.
The crazy part is, like I said, and I said this, the thing that pisses me off the most is that I predicted this last year when y'all got him. Because I said people are going to be they're going to go overboard with RG3. and they're going to – and, I mean, I got people on Facebook comparing him to Michael Jordan. I got people talking about this guy. I mean, I'm like, dude, you would think this guy stepped out of the clouds. And I understand everybody's excited, but for me, what I told him is he's no different than any of the other quarterbacks, and I'm going to tell you – and I'll tell you in this instance. In the instance that anybody who thinks – that RG3, what he's doing this year, he'll do next year, it will not happen.
No, it's not going to
happen.
He'll
do it in spurts. No. He'll do it in spurts. But what he doesn't, but what people don't realize, and I keep trying to tell Redskins, but they don't want to hear it, I keep telling them, I said, trust me, every black quarterback, athletic quarterback, every time he comes, he gets everybody off guard the first year. Second year, third year, everybody makes the adjustments and starts saying, you ain't doing that no more, buddy. We're gonna start, then they start drafting to deal with you. And then they start putting in schemes to deal with you, you know. So what I told him is enjoy this year, because next year, and here's the funny part, here's the scary part. The scary part is early in the season, you now got on film how to play RG3. You now have on film how to defend him. No, not to say you'll stop him, because every team don't have
exactly
the talent that he has. But remember this, but if you run the right scheme, even he'll get you, but you can at least slow it down to have a chance. As opposed to before, everybody was like, I don't know what the hell. We put 8 people in the box, the guy gives the ball off this running back, we gotta handle him. Now he gets us with that. Now he's fooled us, he's done a spin move and he's gone back this way. I don't care what nobody say. After last Sunday, you know what I said? I said that what's the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive guy? He's a genius. He's an absolute genius.
Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau is a genius.
14-1 versus.
Because I just said, but he ain't. But it ain't just rookies. He do this to everybody. Because look how long, look how many they won, and look how long he been there. So what I'm saying is, but after what I saw last week, I was just like, this dude's a genius. Because I thought I was really questioning whether Pittsburgh was gonna be able to really stop him individually, like running and doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But the funny, I mean, there were times when he would spin out and the guy would just be standing there waiting on him. I'm like, how come nobody else played this? Like, how come nobody else thought of this stuff? I'm like, Dick LeBeau has this guy I've never seen this season RG3 running as much as I did, avoiding sacks, getting popped, he was getting hit. And literally had nowhere to go. Like, I can't run out of this. This is going to be, I got to throw this ball, get rid of it before I get my head tore off. And I've never seen that before. So, for me, you know, I like him. You know, I like him. I respect him. But, you know, they go too far with the whole thing. And I just be like, y'all going too far with it. You know, with the worship and the praise, man. Can't do that.
I don't worship and praise him, but I got you. Now, I'm going to prove to you that I'm smarter when it comes to your Lions, because your GM
I don't care what my GM said.
Your GM did something that I told you he was going to do.
Right.
I want you to hear from Calvin Johnson, and then I'll bring him back in. Here you go.
Could have him, you know, one thing. You know, we'll take many playmakers we can get out there, and, you know, for him first day, you know, learning the playbook, you know, he's getting out, throw him in the fire, you know, so that's the best way to learn, I feel. Cause happened to me, and I've seen it happen to other people. I figure that's the best way for them to go ahead and learn a new playbook, and he's doing a good job so far in the limited time he has been here.
Do you know who Calvin Johnson's talking about?
He's talking about the new wide receiver they got.
Mike Thomas. That's
correct. Right.
Mike Thomas from formerly of Jacksonville.
Right.
And I believe he was on, like him and Mike Sims-Walker were on the street recently.
Mm-hmm.
They went out, instead of getting a DB, which they do need, don't get me wrong, they need a DB. They went out
and
signed
a
receiver.
Few DBs. Mm-hmm.
They
need a few DBs, that's what I said.
Oh, They went out and signed a receiver to relieve some of that pressure because they don't believe that Titus Young is going to be that consistent guy every game. Now, I'm going to bring Black in, let him get his 2 cents in, because he's been on hold for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll let you talk about your thoughts on that signing. Black, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up? What's up?
I was just trying to collect my money. I told you Mike wasn't going to talk any politics.
Oh, we already got it.
I know my man well.
I told him I was gonna give him a little something, but if he
I
didn't know y'all had a back going. See, you supposed to text me, Black, and let me know. See, you supposed to text me and say, "Hey, Mac,
so Black,
hey man,
no,
if you
no,
say
no,
anything
Black
about that, man,
mute.
Don't do that, man."
Black,
you know?
Black gets on mute for that. I'm about to mute him for that.
Oh,
all right,
man.
What do you think about the signing, Black? And then I'm gonna let, well, it's Mac's show, but we got limited time, and I want to get him on politics real quick before
we go over the time.
Does he
no,
play
Mike
fullback?
Thomas is a wide receiver, the former wide receiver from
I don't like the signing then. They got enough receivers. You need a fullback up there.
I told you.
Well, he's saying a fullback. It's still an offensive
player.
No,
I'm not talking about a fullback. I'm saying we didn't need another wide receiver. The fact of the matter is, if you watch those games, I watch those games every Sunday. I've been watching them, period, from before Barry Sanders on. I'm telling you, the problem we have with this year is, one, Stafford is under too much pressure, and he's under pressure all the time, and he's throwing bad passes. Yeah, he is. And or overthrowing guys because he's rushed, which any quarterback would do. But the fact of the matter is they're doubling. You're saying this out of the fact that they double Megatron. But the fact of the matter is other people are picking up the pace. We won last week, and Megatron had, what, one or two catches? So it's been proven that we can win a game. The fact of the matter is we need, like he said, we need a fullback. We need a legit running back. Like the one we had is concussed. He's done for the year now again. So 2 years. So I expect him to be gone. I expect us to go in the draft next year and get a running back and let him go and cut him loose. I mean, he's a good guy. I like him. But Javis Best you can't have a concussed guy, man. He got to go. So I'm just telling you, it's not the wide receiver. It's other stuff.
Yeah, it's not the receiver.
It's not the secondary. But that's what I'm saying. It's not the secondary because Gunther Cunningham – has run this same style defense mm-hmm. back in the 80s up until now. So
we've been getting our butts kicked because guys have been marching down the field, taking advantage. We can't stop nobody. We're not even tops in red zone defense.
Neither the Patriots or the Green Bay Packers or the New Orleans Saints.
Hey,
yeah,
Vic,
I got news for you,
Vic. It's not the 80s anymore, buddy.
I'm telling you, it's not the wide receiver. That's what I'm telling you. We can't stop nobody, dude. That's what I'm saying. We don't stop nobody. We don't. Them guys will tackle after. How do you get 15 yards? I mean, I've seen people go down and get. I mean, how does dude get wide open and catch this catch? Okay, how do you keep catching catches from the same dude? Like, at what point do we stop missing assignments? At what point do guys stop being open? At what point do guys stop running through our whole defense on a running play and going to the end zone? Like, when does that stop? That's a secondary, bro. I'm saying the wide receiver ain't the reason why we're losing it because we just proved last week that we could win with Megatron having two catches or one.
But
I mean, he was the high guy. The rest of the guys got to step up, catch the damn ball.
You're right. That's the point Black's making. If you got a running game and can sustain a running game, your defense stays fresh.
Yeah.
Megatron becomes a more viable option, and therefore you can keep them on the field and start
building
pressure and stuff like that. It all goes back to offense.
Right. But you can keep up. But I'm just what I'm saying is we have. But I'm saying we have wide receivers. If Titus Young becomes what I'm trying to tell you is if Titus Young becomes a great wide. What I'm saying is if he becomes another weapon, okay, other than just the two tight ends, because right now it's Megatron and the two tight ends. That's basically what it is. Every play, one or two tight ends or But I'm saying if those other two wide receivers become a weapon, then you force guys to play Megatron honestly. But they're not going to do that when the other guys are either dropping balls, injured, not there, and all because everybody says, oh, it's Megatron. We stop Megatron, we win. And I'm saying it's not necessarily true if the other people step up. You know, that's all I'm saying to you. But to say we have to have another guy to go along with him, we got him. But they just got to step up now. I'm not saying, but what I'm trying to say is I just think next draft we need to get 80% of our people need to be defensive. They just need to. We just need to get two cornerbacks, a freaking free safety, a middle linebacker. We need, seriously, we need to get like Alabama players. I mean, we need to get something. Because these dudes, I hate Alabama, but I like their players. But at the same time, you know, it's just crazy. So, that's it.
Get a fullback and a running back and get an offensive guard and then fill your secondary because your front seven is good. Your front four, you have nobody to play man defense on your back four. But we only got like 9.5 minutes of live air. Well, thank everybody for listening to No Chase with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. I'm sitting in for JT. I'm FSP. Mac is on the line. We got our other co-host, Black the Bookie, on the line. We got about 9 minutes left. I want to get into this real quick.
We can't go over the time?
We can go over time, but the live listeners won't be able to get it. And I want them to hear you.
Okay.
I want them to hear you.
Oh,
they
okay,
come back
my
to
bad.
All day.
No, because we're saying used to, because we was going over. So you telling me all the time we've been going over, ain't nobody been hearing us?
They have to come back and listen to the entire show.
Oh, okay, my bad. All right, go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You know, when you got those good points, I want them to be live.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. The election is still going to take place. It's coming up. It's just right around the corner. Mr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You had Mr. Bloomberg of New York, the governor, backing President Obama. Both Romney and
mm-hmm.
Obama
mm-hmm.
were seeking this guy's backing. And because
mm-hmm.
of the global warming
mm-hmm.
issue, Bloomberg says yes.
Don't tell me you believe in global warming.
I do. But
okay,
let's get into it.
I'll just say it this way. Vic, read your Bible. Geez. Anyway, go ahead. Now go ahead.
We're gonna get into it. I love my Lord, and I believe in climate change, and it's happening.
It ain't nothing.
But
trust me,
we can talk about that because science and God, I can do them both. But the bottom line is this: Bloomberg gives him back.
Mm-hmm.
Christie, you know, he says, you know, the president's being presidential. He's doing what
mm-hmm.
a president's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's a strong opponent of President
mm-hmm.
Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So for him
Absolutely.
To say this is big. So with all
why?
The stuff that has come out,
why?
You know how.
But why is that?
Why
is that big? Why is that big?
Because when you have
Vic,
let me ask something.
Okay, I got you. I know where you're going with this. So let me cut to the chase. Since we only got a few minutes, let me cut to the chase. As far as Chris Christie saying that, do you know how vilified, how criticized, and how ridiculous it would be for Chris Christie to bite the hand that feeds him? It's business. Don't trust me. Catch Chris Christie alone or in front of some cameras, and somebody asked him directly. If this storm wasn't going on, you asked him some direct questions at it, he'd still be critical. This ain't no kumbaya moment. It's the same thing as me. I may not like you, but if I see you on the side of the road and you the only dude, I'm going to ask you. Even if you tell me go to hell, I'm going to ask you because I need your help. I still need your help. But I knew liberals were going to do this. When they did, I was laughing because I told my wife, I said, you know what, it's funny. I said, now liberals think that Chris Christie and him are best friends. Now they think that. Do you understand that's called I give respect where respect is due. For me, I don't like Obama's policies. I don't like the guy that much. But at the same time, I'll admit, he did what he had to do. He's supposed to do that. I'm not going to give a man credit for doing what he's supposed to do.
I'm not worried about Chris. What I want to get to is
mm-hmm.
the supporters of Romney
mm-hmm.
are, you know, leaning toward President Obama. But
mm-hmm.
with all that has come out, how Romney
mm-hmm.
just 3 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
said he opposed all these issues that President
mm-hmm.
Obama said we're going to do. Last debate, he says, well, yeah, now we're going to be out of there by this time. We're going to do this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he did a complete 180 on every freaking
mm-hmm.
Major issue that he fought the past 18, 19
mm-hmm.
months for,
mm-hmm.
saying, no, the president's wrong on this. The president is so, he's backwards. He's da-da-da-da. But now, just a week ago, he's agreeing with the president on everything except for maybe one or two issues.
To be honest with you, I think that was the I think he did the best strategy out of all, and I really think, honestly, this is just coming out of my head. Liberals are pissed the fuck off because y'all wanted to fight, and he didn't give you a fight. He took it away from you. It's just like when I debate with people, I know how to take away what you want. I know how to do it. I would never tell you my secrets on how to do it. I frustrated more people and made people pissed off because they want to fight, and I don't give fights. It's so much fun not to give a fight. It pisses people off. It's like when I beat somebody at Madden and they say, can I play again? No. I'll pick the time when I give you the chance. And that pisses them off.
You got PS3.
Romney did exactly what he was supposed to do. And to be honest with you, I don't believe he was. I know based on what he said, he wasn't lying. He didn't have a fundamental disagreement. The fact is, let me just straighten you out. Just so we understand. Just so I really be clear. Yeah, I'm gonna straighten y'all out. I'm gonna straighten you liberals out. Y'all been pissed off. Y'all, let me tell you something. Y'all screwed up when he blew the first debate. That's when y'all blew it. No recovery from that. Now, I might be close, might be all that, whatever. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I knew you guys were going to accuse him of that. And I saw the whole thing from the beginning. Because as soon as he started saying, no, I agree with this part of the president. Yeah, I agree with this part of the president. And, man, I looked over. I said, let me flip over to MSNBC and see the demon-possessed people crack. They would be all pissed off. As soon as I click over there, you know, the chick with the big Adam's apple, she pissed. Then the redneck dude who looked like a union boss, that slick head dude on his show, he pissed. You know, Al Sharpton, because I ain't gonna call him Reverend, because he going straight to hell. So I look at him, he over there lying. Then I look at all the rest of them crazy folks over there, and they all mad, and he's just lying. Oh my God, Mitt Romney! I'm like, their heads are gonna explode. You know. And so I just come back and I just said, yeah, that's what I figured. So the whole time I'm watching it, I know they gonna be pissed. They are over there gonna complain and say the same thing you did. You're lying.
No,
against the whole thing. Let me tell you, rest easy. Y'all was pissed off because you wanted the fight, and the man didn't give you one. Because your man screwed. This is what happened. Your boy did. I mean, let me give it to you, Black. Let me give it to him in street sense.
Yeah,
this is what happened. Your boy went out in the playground with Obama. He bloodied him up. Obama got mad. He was a bitch. Then he come back the next day after he gets his ass beat and then go in the lunchroom and tell all the kids about what he was going to do. But I was going to do this and I was going to do that. He was loud talking the next day. Oh, yeah, I was going to say this and this. Yeah, now you're getting your points out, but the guy ain't in your face. So you mad. Your people mad with you. Your friends mad at you because they like, man, you let the dude punk you. So then, second debate, he comes out real aggressive, but it really don't move the polls that much. Of course, the liberals it did, but it really didn't. So then the third, then the third debate. No, he didn't because trust me. Other than them CNN polls, which is run by liberals, and the MSNBC poll or the MSN poll, which is run by liberals, yeah, he looked good. But in Rasmussen, but Rasmussen and the other polls that's been here for over 100 years, not this new fangled crap you got, you know, Al Sharpton out there running the black people and getting them to vote for on the poll. No, we ain't talking about like that. The point is, your man got smacked in the second debate. Your man showed up. No, your man showed up in the second one.
Said that the kid lost. Guys,
he showed up. Wait a minute. He showed up. No, I said he showed up. He showed stronger. He was better. I give you that. Second debate, much better. Much better. But by that time, it was too late already. So then the third debate comes back. So then Obama really, really got pissed off because, really, he got Candy Crowley to agree with him on a question, which really she got exposed later and then backed off of. So then everybody really mad, the liberals mad. So then they say the third debate, you know what, start confronting him on this Axelrod crazy demon-possessed butt. So then they get into the third debate, and the whole time, your man Obama done lifted weights. He done ran, jogged, ate. I mean, he trained for this joint, probably with Mayweather. Got out there and was ready to fight. And you know what happened? Your boy, what Romney did was just all he did. Every time that nigga punched, guess what he said? I dodge, I move, I duck. Yeah, I agree with that part. And y'all was pissed off because man didn't give you the fight.
But, Mac, here's the point. Mm-hmm. He dodged questions of the people that ask the questions, not the moderator. I'm talking about the town hall debate as well. That's the one when you're saying he just, you know, he was like, yeah,
but look,
whatever.
But look,
Keith, yeah.
Okay,
people,
I get you that.
The people
you're right,
that ask Tim
you're
the
right,
questions.
You're right. You're
not
right.
The moderator.
But guess what? But guess what? Here's a news flash. Here's a news flash. Black, you still here? I want you to get this news flash because I'm getting ready to lay it on you. I'm getting ready to lay it on you. All politicians, none of them answered them questions straight out. Your boy Obama dodged the question and went into some old tirade to attack Romney. They never answered the direct question. So let's just get over that part because that's been gone. That's been done since politics started, okay? When Frederick Douglass asked Abe Lincoln at the press conference, said, "You going to free the slaves?" He said, "I don't know, but John Adams, we supposed to go down here and do that." Politicians been doing it for years. Just get over it. The fact of the matter is, your man agreed with him. He took the fight from him. And the thing about it is, I believe he was honest in the stuff that he said he was for with Obama. He agreed with him. And people were pissed. Man, I ain't never seen Obama so mad in my life, man, so frustrated. I was like, man, go ahead, dog. All he did
was straight parlay. Guy, I mean, I don't know what you watch, but I can tell you what I want. I heard what you said, and I agree with you on the first debate. The first debate, you know, Romney did a complete 180 on his behavioral mannerisms. President Obama was not prepared for that. Got that. And I agree with you. He handed it to Obama because it wasn't civil like he thought it was going to be. Second debate, President Obama, he said, you know what, let me go ahead and show where I come from. Because he's not going to shut me up. He's not going to tell me you'll have your turn. He's not going to tell me that I'm the president of the United States.
Right.
And, you know, that's the approach he took. And the polls, both Fox and CNN, the undecided voters, not liberal or Democrat, you know, they were geared more toward President Obama during that time frame.
So why is it still within the margin of error in every poll now?
I'm getting to that. I'm about to get to that.
Okay. Why?
Okay. So when we did the town hall debate, you know, both men didn't answer every question directly. However, I will say this.
This goes back to Romney. Go ahead.
Of course it does.
Tattletale.
The woman, when a woman asks you directly as a man or as a person, how do you, you know, feel about women's equality in the workplace, stuff like that, and you completely disregard the question and answer something totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different because you want to get back to the point that the president made on a completely different question.
Yeah. You're damn right I would. That's what a debate is doing. Vic, debates have been like that for years, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I'm about to explain it to you. On that one situation, I saw the spike in men voters go up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The men went up on that, for Romney on that, because he didn't answer the question. Because, again, we live in a world where males are very chauvinistic, and, you know, they don't want women or anybody else taking their piece of the pie, whatever the case may be. But In that instance, it became, okay, well, what do you plan to do for women's lib? Apparently nothing, because you don't care about the question. At that point,
Benghazi, he didn't care either, right?
Because he still ain't answered
all the questions about that. This is the same answer he gave us autumn months ago. What did he say, Black?
Didn't he get him?
What was his favorite
didn't
guy?
He get him? Didn't the president
we're investigating it, Governor. We're investigating it, Governor.
Didn't the president get the guy, you know, isn't he getting the folks that perpetrate this thing? Just because we didn't do it immediately, because we didn't talk about people that didn't get freaking terrorists immediately, if you want to go that route.
It's not even about the issue is not about getting. I never said he should get anybody. What I'm saying is this. What I'm telling you is let me tell you something. The only people who are real boobs are the people who believe that crap is the people who love Obama, which is fine. I understand that. If his man sold y'all piss in a bottle and told you it would make you float, y'all buy it. The point of the matter is that My problem with Obama and Benghazi is the fact that you came out and you said, and I don't care what you say, I've watched that tape over and over again, that man wasn't saying that it was terrorism. Liberals will say that, and that's fine, but ain't nobody stupid. But here's my point. My point is this. Now that we have all the documents coming out, now that we have the stuff coming out, we know that was a terror. Now we know the people was asking for help and was calling the security department and all that stuff for hours and was told no. So I'm saying, so here's my point. This is the only point I have about Obama. It's the only beef I got to pick. Why y'all come out and send that black girl out there to tell people that shit was all because of a video? It's bullshit. It wasn't because of no video. Them niggas went out there and did. They did what they did because it was the anniversary of 9/11 and they decided to attack them. That didn't have nothing to do with the video. It didn't.
And now that...
The dude in the country said he didn't. He said it wasn't about the video. It was a plan attack.
We're not talking about a video. Let's stay on track. We're talking about the polling of the people.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to talk about the video, we can talk about the video.
You want to talk about why did Mitt Romney not answer the question? Okay, go ahead.
What I want to talk about is, because you brought up the issue, and I was trying to answer it, about how they became so close in the polling. And I'm telling you, because of that comment, there are a lot of males that feel the same way in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the surge in the polls, it
there
came from males, not females. Now, when you go back to that final debate, when they sat there across from each other, you know, saying whatever, where Mitt started to say, you know, we're going to have them out in 14 by year 2014. We're going to do this. We don't want to put more troops in Afghanistan in a dangerous region. I mean, this is where it became, okay, well, you know what, Mitt, you're saying it, so we're going to believe it now. But the president said the same exact thing, and folks are like, no, you're lying. You don't know crap. You're a buffoon. But since Mitt said it, you know, that percentage that are drawing them closer is what's doing it. Now, we can say it just like this.
Are you honestly trying to convince me? Wait a minute. Are you really trying to convince me that there was a surge in the polls? The last surge that Romney had in the polls was after the first one. The second and the third, I knew Obama wasn't going nowhere. He's already close. It's still close. You want to really know what happened?
Close.
The only time Romney went up was after that first debate. The second and the third one, when the dude did a better showing, everybody was going to be happy. The people who like Obama, who favored him, was going to draw up closer. It was going to be close. I knew Romney wasn't going to just run away with it. Oh, it's a 5 or 10 point swing. No, it wasn't. And it was for a while. It was called a bounce. And then after that bounce was gone, it bounced his butt right back down to where it was because people got excited. In fact, the storm, this little hurricane thing, probably helped Obama a lot to a certain extent. But let me say this, and let me announce it here right now. If his ass lose, I'm going to make your life miserable for the next 4 years. Let me let you know. I'm waiting. Because it's going to be a whole bunch of unfriending me. Because I'm going to blast that ass. Let him lose. I'm going to blast black people's ass. I'm going to be like, yeah.
I don't care.
I don't dislike my kind. But here's the thing. Just like anything else, I call it like I see it. I can like you, but if you a thief, I'm going to still call you a thief. If you a liar, I'm still going to call you a liar. There's people in my family as liars and thieves. I'm like, you're a thief. You're a liar. You're dirty. You don't wash your ass. You come over here every year at Thanksgiving, and you fucking stink. Wash your ass. I'm tired of you coming over here with that hoe that you keep trying to make a housewife. Oh, yeah, I'm very blunt at family. I call it what it is. It ain't got nothing to do with hating your people, and that's the thing that kind of gets me about black people when I say things about against Obama or against his policies. People try to say, oh, you hate your own kind. And I keep trying to tell them. I said, let me ask you something. I said, you have a family? Yeah. I said, is this some bad people in your family? Yeah. I said, do you tell them they're good? Nah, I tell them whatever. Okay. So it's like family. Black people are my family. I love them. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to sit here, but I'm not going to, but I never, I'm not going to, but I'm not going to criticize them just because they my people. No, I'm going to call you what you are. I'm going to tell you what I think about you. And if we don't agree, we just don't agree. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not one of these people out here who's Ungawa Black Power to the point where I'm delusional. I'm not going to do it. You know, like I said, here's my thing. I've always told you, I told you this before and I'll say it again. I'm glad that this country has gotten to a point where we can elect a black president. Am I proud of that we could elect Barack Obama? Yes, I am. But guess what? The same 43 people that was before him that I said was terrible, you stupid, you're a dumb, you're an idiot, you're a thief, you're an asshole, you're for rich people, you're for this, you're for this, I'm going to do a Barack Obama the same. And I said that to my family and everybody else at the same time. I said, I'm going to call it like I see it with him, just like I did the other 43. He don't get to show his black man's pass, and he gets passed on the whole 3 years. He ain't going to get it. I'm going to get him just like I do the rest of them.
It's not about that, though.
But that's what it is. But Vic, that's what it is with a big percentage of our people. I've had people stand in my face and tell me, I don't give a fuck if he fucks it up or not. He black man, let him fuck it up. Do you know the stuff that you don't hear? I don't know where you are, but you're in the military.
I hear that crap
all the time, and that's what makes me sick, is because I sit here and go, but y'all the same people who criticize the heck out of all them other presidents, the white crackers, they for the rich, they for this, they for this, they for that. I said, but then when the man come in, y'all don't care what he do. Like, you got to be an ignorant dude to say some stuff like that. Like, you don't care nothing about your – to me, you're worse. Because you're worse than the people. Okay, here's the thing. If you really believe what Barack Obama says, you believe in the policy, I can give you that. But my thing is, I just want black people to come correct. Just be real. I can live with it. Okay? Shaq has come to me in my face and told me, I'm voting for the man because he's black. Okay, I can live with that. I'm good with that. You kept it real. We good. Okay? But at the same time, I don't like the people who sit and act, who sit and argue you down, cuss you out, call you names, and call you Uncle Tom's and everything else, but then you try to be phony talking about, well, I believe what he say, which you really don't, because you don't even know the issues. They don't even know it. They really don't, because when I can research with, I can talk to you. The only reason why I talk to you, I can talk to Black, and I can talk to
Jerry.
Right, I can talk to Jerry. But my point is, because you guys are open-minded, you're not closed-minded.
Yeah.
We can debate it, and we can go away being fine. But these people, but most of the people out here, my people, are terrible. They're horrible. They say the most stupid stuff, the vile stuff. And the point is, they don't. And when I go and ask them things, they don't even know what they're talking about. All they're doing is sitting in front of that damn box and repeating what them idiots on that box say, the chicken with the big Adam's apple, bigger than a football player. Yeah, that chick. They repeat what she say. And then your redneck friend who come on after her, they repeat what he say. And then they come back and they repeat it like gospel. And I'm like, damn, like you don't even research it? Like did that run across your mind to ever like research it? But if I sat up here and said something about sports, Black, what they do? What they do, Black?
They go crazy.
Go on the internet and we'll post every video, every interview, every article, everything in the world.
And I gotta get ready to go because we've been over time. But great conversation here. But with that, you know, you got folks on both sides that don't do research. You have, and I'm not making this up. This is Mitt Romney.
I believe that.
He doesn't want his campaign to be ran by fact checkers. So to me, that says, don't even
don't do your research, you still got to have an open mind about things.
That's my whole belief. And that's why when I hear the stuff they say, like when people post, like when you posted, like to be honest with you, when you posted that picture about Mitt Romney bending over and the girl looking at it, that girl wasn't looking at that.
Huh?
Somebody posted a picture of Mitt Romney bending over shaking hands and some white girl was behind him.
And said
something about he liked to back that thing up or something crazy. The stuff they put on Facebook is just ridiculous. I mean, honestly, like, really, man, really? But let me say this. I've told people all along the reason why I wanted, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll say these last few things, I don't know if Black ever heard me say this, but I know I told, but I'm going to say you this. if this man loses, let me tell you, whether he loses or whether he goes out of office in 4 years, let me tell you this, and you can take me to the bank on it, we can bet on it, shake on it, whatever, there will never, ever be another black president again. Niggas acted a fucking fool for 4 years. Dude, if think about, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to back it up, but I'm going to back it up, though. Think about it. If you spent your last 4 years, you spent your 4 years being called racist every time you disagree with something, racist every time you criticize him, every time. Mm-hmm. For 4 years, we have been polarized, separated by race. This is the most, I'm going to tell you, I've been alive since 1966, and I'm going to tell you, this is the most separate in my conscious life. This is the most separated I've ever seen us as a country as far as black and white. I understand why, because there's a black president in there, and every time, and that's exactly what I said when he first got the nomination. I said, if he gets in, I'm gonna tell you right now, every time white people, I wish I had my guy, the guy that I was renting from, because I told him, he's a white guy, and I told him, I said, every time white people criticize this black man, if he wins, they're going to be called racist and everything. I said, by the end of these 4 years, I said, this country is going to be more divided racially than between black and white than ever in the existence of my lifetime. And he was like, no, I won't. And now when I talked to him, he was like, you know what? And that's why I said, all I'm telling you is this. It will always be the majority of whites. They will always have to have that to get her in the presidency. I'm telling you, a woman will be next. But it will not be another black man.
I agree, woman will be next, and maybe a Latino or something. But I'll explain to you why there's a big division. And I agree, there's a huge division racially. No president has ever had his birth certificate challenged. No president has ever had his ethnicity brought into play by mm-hmm. anybody. No other president mm-hmm. has had to deal with the type of mm-hmm. crap that this mm-hmm. president has to deal with. So if you want to say there's a mm-hmm. racial divide, it's not because black people are challenging white people. It's the fact that
No, listen.
It's
because
one party decided when he was running for president yeah. to bring up his ethnicity and his heritage. Had
but
that not been brought up by that one party and that group of people, do you think we would have that issue?
But
no,
Vic, really
because
be
you go around telling.
No, I understand.
No.
I agree with you.
Issue.
No. I agree. Here's my thing. I agree with you about.
When Palin is calling this guy a terrorist, they're saying they're
okay.
putting terrorists in
That's
office.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh,
well, they call presidents all kind of things. Look at the stuff y'all call
Bush.
That's what I'm saying.
Bush
but they did
already, right?
We got people who said
he's a terrorist or he's not American. They didn't do that, did they?
They did call him a terrorist.
No. They did not call President Bush a terrorist while he was running.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? The stuff you guys called him? Get the heck out. I'm done with this conversation. Man, y'all call this man an idiot. Y'all call him every name in the book but a child of God. You people sat up there and called Bush everything in the book, man. You going to sit up there and tell me that because somebody challenged him that?
Did we challenge his birth certificate?
It don't matter.
Did we go around on a campaign trail? No.
But it doesn't matter.
When you campaign on hate,
Let me ask you this. When's the last time a president in the middle of the night pushed through a medical coverage? That's never happened before. I've never seen that one before. When is the last time the president and the majority says you gotta read it before you know what's in it? Who said that? Who does that? And then
God.
You got a guy who hires czars. I'm just telling you, who hires czars. Doesn't put nobody before and let them come up and be vetted and voted on. He just appoints people. I'm just telling you what I'm saying. I'm not making an excuse. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not.
Those people to kill Bin Laden and they ran off with $40 million?
I'm talking about the same people who that idiot over there, that dumbass attorney general who gave up all them damn guns, and them Mexicans said, thanks, see you, sayonara,
Reagan, but nobody questioned it because it wasn't President Obama in office. Nobody questioned it. Nobody had it over any paperwork on it to the incoming
I'll say this. We are, let me tell you something. If you believe that the things that you're pointing out is the reason why we're divided.
No, that's what you're pointing out.
No, I'm not. I'm pointing out, and this is what I said. I'm pointing out the fact, the main reason why we are where we are in this country as far as black and white. I don't care about Hispanics and all that because they ain't got no problems. Mm-hmm. Only problem they got is getting in and out of the damn country. My point is this. My point is, and they coming over here as dishwashers, so they get jobs. Anyway. Unemployment against unemployment is very low among Hispanics. Trust me. We can clean the toilet. Anyway, look. All I'm telling you is the reason why we are where we are in this country is not anything that Obama did. It's not something that anybody did. What I'm telling you is that, and for 4 years, I've been reading posts on articles, different articles about President Obama from CNN to everywhere else. And the thing that white people have said the most is that I'm sick and tired of being called a racist. They have ranted about it. I've heard it. Every time I disagree with that. So what I'm saying to you, we're not separated because of anything Obama did or anything really anybody did. What it's not a party thing. It's a thing of, I'm telling you, this is what I'm trying to say. In all my years of being alive, if black people criticize a white president, nothing. Black people didn't get criticized for doing the white president. Never did. If white people didn't like the president, nothing. It was never racist. We were never separate until we had a black president. Because what happened is, and I don't care what nobody says, is that if you spend 4 years being hated on and called names and being mad because you have the nerve, man, I've been around business people and white people who will not speak on the election just because if the black person in the room, they won't say nothing because they're afraid that the person will get cussed out or get called names and they'd be like, forget it. What I'm telling you, and I'm not saying it's Obama's fault. I'm not saying that at all. It has nothing to do with it. He is who he is. He didn't pick his skin color. He is what God made him. But I'm just telling you the fact that normal, everyday black people, okay, that we go to work with every day, 24/7, regular folks, have sat and vilified white folks and rich folks and have said this stuff about white folks and called them racist and called them, and accused them of things that they were not. I'm saying, yes, don't get me wrong, just so you know I'm fair, yes, there are still prejudices. There are still prejudice in redneck people. There are people who hate people because you're black and they hide whatever. Every group has their crackpots. Every group has their racist.
Yeah.
Yes, black people can be racist.
Yeah.
As we know. Yeah. Let's pull that one out from under. That's the big elephant in the room.
Said that, yeah.
So all I'm saying to you then, Vic, is this, is that I'm telling you, if you spend 4 years, if I was a black person and for 4 years there was a Hispanic president and every time I disagree with President Gonzalez, I'm called a racist, I wouldn't vote for another Hispanic again. I know I wouldn't. I'd be like, man, these bammers acting crazy. They're around here drinking Coronas, riding through the streets, protesting, shooting at black folks. You know, I'm just saying, you just won't do that. So that's why I said it. I'm saying, not saying they wouldn't do it because they just don't feel like doing it, but to be honest with you, who wants to do that for another 4 years? Like, really? Do I really want to go through this for another 4 years?
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying, if he gets out, I'm saying if he loses or he leaves, there will never be another. Trust me. Take a picture.
Well,
take a Kodak, because it won't be another.
I understand what you're saying. I feel what you're saying.
Curious George will be president before another black man.
Trust me. Jesus.
The man in the yellow hat will be the vice president.
I disagree with you on the fact that there won't be another one. I do agree that a female will be president probably before another black person is. Maybe not.
If there's another black president, it'll be after the world, after U.S. falls, and some monkey gets up in there and just crawls through the window and just take over. That's the only way there'll be another black president.
Why you got to refer? Never mind. That's your personal issue.
I know. I'm a black racist. Yeah. Black racist.
Okay.
Black racist.
Hey,
crawl through the window, man. Okay,
hey,
my bad.
Hey,
he comes in. He drives
Uncle
through to join this car.
It's all good, Uncle Ruckus. I love you, Uncle Ruckus. You know, we gonna fix it.
Uncle Ruckus. Hey, look, Shaq calls me Uncle Tom to my face. I just laugh. I wish I'd have sent you that picture. I'm gonna see if somebody can give me that picture. They actually took a picture Sunday. We were in the gym And somebody, I don't know who it was, had a Romney hat on the side of the gym floor. Them fools got me caught up in a picture, Shaq and about four or five other guys, and took a picture. And Shaq and them, somebody was holding the hat, the Romney hat, and everybody in the picture was pointing at me, and I was just laughing. Oh, my
hey,
God. Oh,
true.
My God.
That's true.
And my man Ty said, I'm going to post that joint on Facebook. I said, you go ahead and post it. I don't even care. Oh, my
hey,
God.
You know, I put up your 7-Eleven Romney-approved coffee.
Wait till Tuesday. I'm going to flood your timeline with that Romney coffee.
No, I got to work. I'm working all weekend. If you notice, I ain't been on Facebook in quite a while.
No, you haven't. You've been kind of peeping. I thought it was because, you know, I thought it was because of the jobless rate today, but I was like, oh, maybe it's not.
It's a lot of freaking work I've been doing lately. But, no, I'll say this because we're about to get off the air real quick. We've come a long way in this country, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
But the main issue with race in this country is...
will never go away.
It will only go away if everybody understands
Mm-mm.
that we all have some type of prejudice, no
you
matter what
why?
It is. It might
but
not
you
be
know, do
color,
you know why
it
would
be...
never... But to be honest with you, do you know why it will never go away? And this is a really serious answer. The reason why racism will never die and never
Hold
go
on.
Away...
Go ahead, what you're saying.
It'll never go away because remember, God made us all equal. Different colors and made us equal. But you have to remember, as long as there's a devil and a Satan, he's going to always make us separate. He's going to always bring that up to separate us. And that's why it'll never go away. As long as there's a devil, there will always be racism. There will always be prejudice and racism. Because that's how Satan survived. That's a part of his way of separating us. Instead of me knowing you, if I was white and I knew you and you could do something for me, and I was going to be a success, the devil would use that to stop me from being a success by me not liking you because you're black. That separates. Now I missed an opportunity where I could have been ahead at a certain point. So what I'm telling you is as long as there's a Satan, there will always be racism. Trust me. It's always going to be here. Period. As long as the world's turning, it's going to be here. It's never going to be gotten rid of.
Well, you know, I agree with you. But if we start with our kids and don't teach them these types of things and show them the diversity exists and it's a good thing instead of a separate thing.
Exactly.
That process.
Exactly.
However,
the first thing you got to do is teach them to be open minded and not closed minded.
Right.
Like
But that's what you forget.
I got to say this. But you can't if you are running for president or a major office. You cannot preach or teach or accuse people of being what they are not, and you know they aren't. That's the whole point that I was trying to make. They knew that President Obama was American. They knew he was not, I mean, his birth certificate, they knew that stuff, but they kept pressing the button, the race and the fear button. And when you do that, that kills all of us, like me, you, and black. Well, I'll say me and black. I was fucking with it. Who are open-minded about different issues? Because what happens is people start saying, "Oh, really?
I agree with that.
Me worry about this."
I agree with that.
When you label, and I'm not blaming President Bush for this because it was just the ignorance of a public affairs officer. You don't say radical Islamic people repeatedly and don't think that there's somebody that's stupid out there that's going to look at every Islamic person, no matter who they are, and think they're radical.
Yeah,
because you have people that live with fear and hatred and they have a discriminatory issue with themselves that it spreads. But if you stop doing that as a country, we all can be open-minded and embrace diversity. But it doesn't happen that way.
The only thing I'll say is that both sides do it. Both sides do the same thing. They spun Mitt Romney as this evil dude that because he has all this money, he can't relate to regular folks.
Small person.
Which is bullshit. Because that's just not true. You know, like I said, this goes back to your remark about Bloomberg. I put this on Facebook with somebody posted. Some idiot posted that. Bloomberg goes there. Yeah, somebody. And then the dummy in the comment section said, "Yeah, $25 billion. He all right. Okay, so he's okay because he for your man. But if he was a $25 billion guy and he wasn't for your man, you'd be the same dude that would say he ain't shit because he wasn't them greedy rich people and he did it. And that's why
right,
I posted what
right.
I posted today is that I'm sick and tired. And somebody tried to bring that point up to me before, actually Sunday when we came out to the gym, and the guy said, he's like, Mitt Romney can't relate to none of us because he been born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I said, okay. I said, are you sure?
True.
Yeah.
That's
no, wait,
true.
He said, you sure? I said, okay. No, this is how I got him. I got him. I showed him his ignorance. He was mad. I addressed him. I said, so let me ask you something. I said, so you telling me that all the rich folks who give the biggest support, who support the most charities and give bigger percentages to charities than anybody else is the top 2%. I said, so you telling me that them people just giving because they giving because it's just a tax write-off, but they can't relate, huh? So I guess if I'm $25 billion and I see a guy sleeping on the ground, I can't relate to the fact that that's a cold-ass ground. I wouldn't want to sleep on it. Bam, you know, he out here with no shoes on. I know it's cold as shit. It's cold and I got my shoes on. I said, so what you're telling me is if you're rich, you can't relate to regular people? He was like, No, I'm not saying that. I'm like, yeah, but your point is stupid. I said, but that's what Obama has been painting him as, is this rich guy who's out of touch with most with normal folks and don't know that. And I'm like, that's a lie. Just like Obama, just because what I'm saying is where you come from has a lot to do with who you are, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that you can't learn things and become
adapt.
Well, not only that, you can't relate to people. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I can't even do it. I can't do it at the job. People ask me who I'm voting for. I say I'm listening to both sides. Why are you listening to both sides? There's nothing Romney can say to you.
Right. That's
why are you doing that?
It's like, that pisses me off too, fam.
That pisses me off too. I'm like, why are you closed minded?
All I say to you,
Romney look like you? I say, no, he doesn't. But Obama doesn't look like me.
Exactly, and that's my point. And that's the thing that frustrates me the most about our people. It's not that I hate my people. I hate that my people are not researching. They're willing to just take whoever it is just because of color and race, and I don't like that because it's ignorant. It's ignorant. We're stupid. Like, we're not stupid people. Like, black people are not stupid people. We're intelligent, but it's like we got this dude in, and now we're just – we're not researching. I mean, I'm not saying Obama's all bad. I mean, he's a nice guy. I'm pretty sure I could sit and chit-chat and talk to him and laugh, and we'd have a great time. He's not an evil dude. But at the same time, I can understand. Here's my point. I can understand Mitt Romney's policies make sense. Obama's makes sense as far as when he tells me. But when I look at what he's done, it's different than what he says. When Romney, and just like I said this too, and I don't know if Black heard me, but I said this before, if Romney get in there and start screwing up, I'm going to get on him too, just like I did the other 44. It ain't no different. If he don't go in there and do what he's supposed to do, I'll be the loudest one. I'll be right on y'all side. I'm like, yeah, he messed up. He didn't do what he's supposed to do. He ain't doing it. But the fact of the matter is, his what you have to understand is this. I equate it to this, and this is the easiest way to differ between Obama. Obama believes in spending money to help people in the recovery and do it and add to a debt. It's like my house. I get a certain amount of money in. I got a budget. I give a certain amount of money out. Certain amount of money's left over. Makes sense, right? Okay. So when I have bills to pay, I don't go spend more money so then I can't pay my debts. I save money. I cut and I save so that I can pay the debt, so that I have more money left over to do the things I have to do. And right now, simply put, Obama is doing a lot of things, and he wants to do a lot of things, but what he's not understanding is you're spending fucking money. You've added $6 trillion to the debt, more than any president in history you've added to the deficit. Now, does it make him a bad guy? No, because I know what he's doing is from the heart, and he wants to do it. But, dude, you can't spend money. It doesn't work. You can't spend $786 billion, and it didn't work. My point is Mitt Romney saying, I want to cut the budget, cut things, and save money so we can give to our debt. But everybody's getting pissed off because, and this is on both sides, this is Republican and Democrat. This ain't got nothing to do with nobody or Mitt Romney. The problem with this country is that nobody, every time a Democrat or Republican reaches for the untouchables, everybody catch the hissy fit and gets pissed off. You better not touch, don't touch Medicare and Medicaid, which, by the way, is the largest amount of money that we spend in this, that we waste in this country. Biggest fraud and waste. My wife's an RN and she runs a home care. She can tell you about how that fraud goes on all the time. okay? Then you got Social Security. Oh, don't touch that. We always do this, and that's why. And these are the ones, the welfare, the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all these social programs are where the biggest waste and fraud is. And instead of us going in there and cutting it and cutting it down and not spending so much and really going in there and focusing on who's frauding, who's wasting, who really don't need it, who don't, we don't do it. Because every time one of the other sides does it, the other side raises up and says, oh, seniors, you're going to die, you're going to kill, you're going to be in the streets with no money, they're going to do this. And then everybody goes, nah, we ain't going to touch it. That's bullshit. You can't do that.
Well, it's coming to the end of this show.
I know.
I mean, I got more to say, but I'm not going to get into it because
next
is
week.
No chasing.
There's always next
week. And this is your show. I'm going to let you end it the way you want to end it. But I want to thank Black for coming on the show.
Thank you, Black.
We've done
no
a
problem,
lot of great
man.
Things today.
From now on, address me as the open-minded booking master, man.
No, I want my money. I want my money because I got to talk politics. I want
the
my
best,
money.
The best Dallas Cowboy fan in the world.
Sucks big.
And Vic is the best Kermit the Frog, Redskins, sorry team having. Detroit Lions got a better record do fan in the world.
I'm going to mute you. End this show so I can get out of here.
This is the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams. I want to thank my two guests, Vic and Black, for being on the show. Me and Jerry will be back next week along with Vic. Hopefully we can get him on again so we can finish this discussion. And hopefully next week, Mitt Romney will be president. And I'll be tearing the black folks up. Yeah.
It's time to mute this guy.
See you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this upcoming Saturday, tomorrow, it's going to be a replay of FSP. All right? Stick and stay.
All right. So you might as well replay this one right here.
You know what? I am. I am going to replay this, you little bastards. Anyway, it's time to get up out of here.
Someday you'll find the Rainbow Connection, brother. Rainbow Connection. You'll be all right.
Every Thursday. Shut up, Jesse Jackson. Every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Excuse me, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You've got FSP Crew Show, Jeff, Black, and Jerry. Then on Fridays, you got the controversial one. He's got that Hennessy straight up, no chaser, Mac Williams with Jerry Taylor. Then on Saturdays, you got me, Mr. FSFSFSFSFP, Fantasy Sports and Politics, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to bring you all the information that pertains to sports in that week. And you know I'm going to talk politics because I got it in my blood. Then on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got Jerry Taylor with the Master Plan. Football's in his veins. Politics will be on his mind probably Sunday. We'll talk about it. Tuesday's Kim Fun, 4 p.m. Total departure from what we do normally. She's more into the children and women and spirituality. Check her out. 4 p.m. Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio.
You'll need spirituality on Tuesday, along with a drink.
Oh, my God. With that being said, for your host, Mac, I'm not Black, Williams, and Black, the bookie, I'm not sure if I'm black or white, right?
Redskins gonna lose Sunday. That's exactly why they gonna lose Sunday. Bye.